Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they dealing, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, Mike Knox really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day. Barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go. Give you the best damn show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, feel the force. Most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best damn show on the radio. Check this.
The best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show in radio.
Welcome, welcome to the Sports Authority and other stuff. Sorry about that. Had a few technical difficulties. And we are back on. Looks like everything's all good now. This week in the little NFL, we had some NFL action. We had Cam Newton taking a beat down. We had the Vikings showing up and doing something on Monday night. The Bears actually messed around and, you know, won a game. We had the baseball playoffs starting this week. The only college matchup we really have of worth this week is Florida State and Miami. I'll see what Paris thinks about that one. And that's when an NBA started back up. So without further ado, Paris, sorry about that. The phone was acting funny. I apologize. I was on here talking to myself. And when I saw you calling me on the other line, yet I said, okay, well, something's up. So what's going on, brother? How you doing, people?
I'm doing great, man. I'm just trying to figure out how you start the show by disrespecting Tennessee and the Aggies by saying that the big game was Florida State and Miami.
Well, I said ranked.
You just based the people. Yeah.
I did say ranked. I went through it and I didn't see. Who did you say? Texas Tech and who? Or Texas A&M and who? Oh, I missed that game. Number 8 and number 9.
Well, yes.
I apologize.
8 and 9, yes. And I just don't want to mess with the good folks in Aggie Land. I'm good, man. How you doing this evening?
I'm good, brother. Yeah, I missed that one. I was looking through the schedule. You know, it used to be when you went on ESPN, you could look at the standing, or you could look at the rankings, and they would show you the ranked game. Now you have to go through every single game to see it, unless I'm doing something wrong. So, yeah, that's on me. So we have 2 ranked games. We have Tennessee and A&M, and we have Florida State, and we have Miami. So, anyway, with that said, let's kick it off with the NFL pairs. This week we had, I don't know if I want to say surprises, like I said earlier. I don't really want to say surprises, but you had a few things happen. Let's put it like that. You had a few things happen. What was your take on this past week of NFL football?
a very
Hey Paris, you're going in and out, Paris. I can't hear you talking right now if you're saying anything.
Corey?
All right. I think I lost Paris there. Hey Paris, hang up and call me right back. I'll bring you right back on. Let's see if maybe it's a connection. While I'm waiting for Paris to do that, I'll say this. I did not expect Jacksonville to beat Indianapolis, and the game was in London. Didn't really care about the London game. I'm not going to lie. Paris, you're going in and out. I was saying you should hang up and call right back, and I'll bring you right back in. Maybe we just need a better connection because I didn't hear anything from you for about 20 seconds.
Okay, I'll try that. Let me hang up and I'll.
Oh no, I can hear you clear now.
Clear it away.
You're good. Yeah, you're back. You're clear right now. So go ahead. What were you saying, Paris? Oh no, he hung up. All right. So we had the Jacksonville game with Indianapolis. I'm not real big on the whole London series. We had the Cleveland-Washington game, and I need to ask Paris about that because I saw a video where they said that Duke Johnson fumbled the ball, and they gave the ball to Washington, yet Duke was holding the ball the whole time while they were looking for it. You had Julio Jones going for 300 yards receiving. You had Matt Ryan throwing for over 500 yards. And you had Cam Newton lollygagging into the end zone and taking a strong hit, head-to-head, little concussion action, and no word yet to my knowledge about whether or not he'll be available for this week's game. You have Tom Brady coming back, and that, man, that's, that. You know, last week New England got shut out. Last week's New England game was the game that a lot of us – I guess, thought we would kind of see in the first couple weeks. A lot of us thought that in the first, four games, we would see New England struggle to score. We would see New England struggle to get things accomplished, and they managed to win. And now they get – and then, of course, the week before Tom Brady comes back, they have the game that we thought we'd see. Tom Brady is back. So we'll see exactly what the Patriots are going to do in their matchup this week. Paris, you're back on. Let me see if we have a better connection now. Paris, I don't know what you're doing, man. I don't know if you're trying to earpiece, but you're in and out, bro.
What?
You are. You know what? Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to take a quick.
Yeah, let's see if we can figure this out.
Yeah, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. Well, first, before I do that, because I have to, man, I wasn't ready for a commercial break, Paris. I don't think we've had a commercial break. Have we had a commercial break in any of our shows? I haven't.
It's been a while. It's been a minute.
Well, now I can hear you now. So whatever you did, now I can hear you.
Okay. Okay.
As soon as I said that,
it went.
What were you? Oh, okay. Well, all right. So anyway, back to it. We'll see if it works this time. If it doesn't, I have a plan. And my plan is to call you on the other line, and we'll both be on the phone at the same time. What was your take on this week in the NFL, Paris? And he's gone again. All right, Paris, you're going to get a call from me.
Yeah.
Stand by, and
okay.
I will be back in well, give us about 60 seconds. I'm going to play a little song real quick, and we'll be right back.
See, man, I ain't tripping off none of my homeboy.
No.
And I ain't tripping off none of her girlfriend.
I'm sure, Rafi.
Because I can't do that. We're going to be together. We're going to do this.
Shut up.
No, we can do this.
Just me and you. Ooh, baby. Thank you.
And we are back. We are back. We're going to try this again. Hopefully we'll have better results. Paris is going to reset his phone, and we'll call back. He's going to call back in. So, again, I was saying Julio Jones, 300. Matt Ryan, 500 yards passing. You had Oakland going out to Baltimore and winning. I actually picked that one, so I'm glad to see that. You had Trevor Siemian having a shoulder issue with Denver just as he's, you know, starting to get rolling. You had the Rams upsetting the Arizona Cardinals. Who saw that coming? Nobody. Speaking of nobody, the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys went to San Francisco. Not that San Francisco is a good team, but Dallas still went into San Francisco, and they pulled out a nice victory. And you got to give props to the Cowboys for that victory. And then Kansas City, I don't really know what was going on there. They showed up to Pittsburgh Sunday night. And, well, let me rephrase that. I shouldn't say that they showed up because they didn't. They showed up in person only. They got demolished. 43-14 was a score of that game. And then, of course, like I said, the Monday night game, you had Minnesota over the New York Giants. Now, when you're looking forward to week five, if you're trying to find a storyline, or you're trying to find something interesting, you could start right at Arizona at San Francisco Thursday night. In this game, you have a situation with Carson Palmer, another quarterback who had a concussion. People, you know I'm not a fan of the Thursday games, not a big fan of them. Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinal fans this week are going to be right along with me, not fans of Thursday games. Carson Palmer had a concussion. Not sure yet, at least if it's been announced, I haven't seen it, whether or not Carson Palmer will be available for Thursday's game. Arizona struggled last week with Carson Palmer, and then they lost their backup, Chris Johnson, backup halfback Chris Johnson. Not quite sure if, you know, if Carson's there, it should be a win for Arizona over San Francisco. If not, it's up in the air. Who knows? We have Paris back. Let's try this again, see if we're a little bit better. Paris, you're back on.
Hello?
Oh, I can hear you say hello, but it was silent for a second.
Yeah, okay, I'm good now. I heard some type of something about Thursday night football, and I thought that Stephen A. Smith was on the other side of this radio.
Well, you know, I've never liked Thursday night games, Paris.
Well,
I sent
Stephen A. a tweet, and I told him, since you don't like Thursday football, I'm sure that you have always been against Thanksgiving Day football as well. Because
from a theory standpoint, yeah.
Yeah, because what my thing is, I don't remember all of this angst, all of this, I don't like Thursday football, when it was just
one game, though.
Thanksgiving. Okay,
it's fair to say that it was one game. It was one. It was one. It does matter. It's a difference between one Thursday game and 17 Thursday.
Please,
or however many they have, 14.
Please explain how it matters.
I just did. There's a difference between one game and 14 games. And okay, well, let me ask you this: have you enjoyed the Thursday night games this year?
Because
you
should be able to hear me now.
Yeah,
I can.
Okay,
this has always been my point of contention with people to say that, because I feel like it's a prisoner of the moment thing. Because first of all, when it comes to Thursday night football and on Thanksgiving, you know, hey, I don't know everybody, I don't talk to anybody, but you know what? I never really heard any complaints. It was always, this is our Thursday, we gonna watch Detroit, we gonna watch Dallas. Now the only complaining I ever really heard was, man, why do we always have to watch Detroit because they sort of suck? Or why do we always have to watch Dallas because they sort of suck sometimes too? And we don't want to watch the same teams. If the game was good, we took it as a good game. If the game was bad, we took it as a bad game. Now, if there's ever a bad game on Thursday night, it is, well, it's Thursday night, and those guys, you know, they need time. Their bodies aren't ready. They can't play. But when we have a bad game on a Sunday, or i.e. the Bears on Monday night with an extra day's rest, we don't get that. It's just a good team and a bad team. It's just that simple, the way it is. Because sometimes we get good Thursday games, sometimes we get bad ones. The last one was bad. You know why? Miami is trash. I don't care if Miami had 2 weeks off. They're a trash team. It had nothing to do with fatigue. It had nothing to do with Thursday. They're just a bad football team. And this Thursday, guess what? We're getting the San Francisco 49ers, who are 1-3, who just lost the heart and soul of their defense, and Navarro Bowman, who's playing against an Arizona Cardinals team who doesn't have their starting quarterback. Well, guess what? If that game was on Thursday, if that game was on Sunday, if that game was on Sunday night, or if that game was on next Monday night, the chances are we aren't going to have a good football game. So my whole point in saying all this is to say that is I just find it sort of laughable how sometimes we sort of group every bad Thursday night game into it and immediately give it the clarification, well, it's because of Thursday night fatigue, when I didn't hear all this previously. It seems like it's a convenient, you know, it's a convenient platform to stand on now, but I didn't hear all this 15, 20 years ago. I wasn't hearing none of this about Thanksgiving games, and now I only conveniently hear it when the game is bad. I just feel like the entire stance is very hypocritical and sort of cold.
Well, we will continue.
We sort of pick and choose.
Well, we will continue to agree to disagree. You have your stance. I have my stance. We both know how we feel. We know how that goes. But
and my stance
this
is definitely
Thursday,
right on this one.
Okay, if you believe that. This,
well, I know it.
This
I know it, so go ahead.
I mean, it's an opinion. It's an opinion. And I'm allow your opinion. I'm not going to argue your opinion. You have yours. I have mine. I'm not going to debate that. But with this Thursday's game coming up.
Logic. My opinions are never based off, like, you know, just like passion. It's logic. It's logic.
That's another opinion. But okay.
No.
So this Thursday.
I can back down up,
this
Corey,
Thursday.
And I'll tell you why, Corey. And then we'll go
okay,
to this Thursday.
Harris,
and I'll tell you why.
It's not even that serious to me. There are a lot of people that disagree with you. Period.
I know. And
there's
all
a lot
wrong.
Of that disagree with you. That and that, now I'm done.
And they're all wrong.
Have you heard anything about Carson Palmer?
There is a Bruce Arians said today. There's a chance that he could play.
Did he give a percentage or did he say
chance? No, he just said
right.
chance. Which we all know in coach talk, he's not going to play Thursday. But we know in coach talk, they always do that because, you know, you sort of want both teams to have to prepare for both quarterbacks and that whole, you know, jam.
Well, with the concussion protocol, what's the last chance they have to make a decision officially? Is there, to your knowledge, is there like, you know, a time where –
I believe it goes up to game day.
Right up to game time?
Yes, there's
okay.
a certain
okay.
point
well, so then,
before it's kickoff. That it has to be
okay.
official, but they have up until game day if he clears the protocol or not. Now, his kid didn't look
okay,
nowhere
so
near as bad as Cam. Right, who Cam, I honestly think that Cam really didn't see that guy, and I think he lost him for a second because
well,
he sort of slowed up and went to the end zone awkward.
It appeared to me, and I may be wrong, I know Cam likes to celebrate. He gets a first down. He wants to sit there and pose and then throw the football
mm-hmm.
and get a flag, which is a whole other conversation. He scores a touchdown.
Right.
He wants to, you know, he wants to do the Superman thing. It almost looked
right.
like he was in touchdown mode. And like you said,
exactly.
I agree. He didn't see him. If he sees him, he doesn't let up like that. Cam is a big boy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't let up. So I say that to say this. Cam kind of brought that on himself. Cats today – And I say today, and I think I can say this with an open mind and have nobody tell me it's just an old man being an old man. Cats
mm-hmm.
today are way premature in their celebratory activity. They drop the ball before they get to the end zone. They're doing flips into the – it's just, man, score the touchdown, secure the touchdown, feel free to celebrate at that point.
Right.
Cam is too big a cod in a 1-3 team. That should be better record-wise to lose him on. I mean, you don't want to lose him on any kind of a play, but if you have to lose
mm-hmm.
your best player, you don't want to lose him on a show off or a lollygag. And again, I may be wrong, Paris. Maybe he just thought he had a touchdown and was letting up. But I've seen enough of Cam that I think I can fairly say Cam was he was getting ready to hit celebratory mode.
Yeah, I don't think Cam saw that guy. I think that he...
He didn't.
He sort of slowed up. His arms was up high.
Yeah.
And it's like he thought he was just going to walk into the end zone. And before you know it, splash, he got hit, you know, right in the face, which is just football. I mean, there's nowhere to avoid that. And this Monday, they play Tampa Bay, which I have a feeling is going to be a dog of a football game.
I hope he's back. Just, you know, from a fan's perspective, I would love to see Cam versus Jameis. I would love to see that. I would love to see that quote unquote matchup, since they actually don't play against each other. But I would love to see those two guys going back and forth. You have the established quarterback.
I think it's going to be a horrible football game between two and three.
That's what I want to ask you, Pierce. And that's what I wanted to ask you. Now, we've all heard you are what your record says you are. Was that a Bill Parcells?
Right.
That you are what your record says you are.
Yes.
Is Carolina a one in, I mean, now, I know they're a 1-3 team, but is this who they are? Because, you know, there's some people that like to say, oh, it's only four games, it's too early to draw conclusions, and they're not wrong. It is early to make assumptions. But in what you've seen, is this who they are?
So far, yes, this is who they are. Now, like you just said, it's only 1-3. It's only a quarter of the season left. We got 75% of the season left. They could easily run off 5 out of 6. We could turn around and, the Panthers could be 8-4, 9-4, and, you know, fighting for a home field advantage. And we might not even remember this 1-3 stretch. But right now, they are a 1-3 football team. I mean, you know, they lost the running back Stewart, who I really don't feel is that big of a cog anyway. But on offense, they haven't looked the same. And last year, you know, they averaged 30 points a game. And I still really don't know how they did that. I think a lot of smoke and mirrors. It was just Cam having an MVP-type season, because that is not a 30 points per game offense. And the defense, the defense played good last year, but I always thought the defense might have been a tad bit overrated, and they have obviously taken steps back. You know, one thing I said in one of the sports group is that with Norman and the Panthers, I said, don't be surprised if Carolina's defense takes a step back. Because, you know, in the haste to discredit Josh Norman last year, because, you know, nobody likes Josh Norman. I don't know why, you know, everybody hates the dude. Is that, you know, fans made the Carolina Panthers pass rush out to be, you know, like the old Steelers or the 85 Bears, and it was all about, well, it's the pass rush.
Right.
Me, pass rush coverage work hand in hand. The Carolina Panthers pass rush isn't that dominating where you can have Ben Rickery and some other no-name guy back here playing corner and expect to slow down these receivers. And I think they're finding that out the hard way. You know, that, hey, we do need quality cornerbacks as well. So right now, they are a 1-3 team, and Cam is not playing at the same efficiency level that he played last year. And they turn it around? Yes. Will they? I honestly don't know. I really don't.
I made a comment kind of half-heartedly. I didn't necessarily mean it as the gospel, but at the same token, I wondered aloud. We saw Cam last year. We lost the Super Bowl. You know, people got on him for celebrating, and there were some people that said, hey, man, when he was winning, everything was cool. You know, when he was winning, he was smiling. It was a great interview, and then he lost. And there's two different angles to that. I'm not going to get deep into it, but you have the one side that says, hey, you know, well, how would you feel if you lost and you had to hear the winning team? And I get that. And then there's the other side that says, man, that dude lost, and we finally saw the real Cam, the Cam that we've known for years. I wonder, I'm not big on carryover effect. You know my opinion, man. What happened last year as far as team dynamic doesn't necessarily carry over. It's a new season. New people are brought in. Some people are sent away. Do you think there is a carryover effect? And we've heard the carryover effects from teams that lose the Super Bowl. But do you think there's a carryover effect from that situation into Cam's approach this year, that he's just not having as much fun?
I don't think it's a fact that he's not having as much fun. But one thing about
right.
the NFL is it's so hard to repeat. You know, that's
yes.
why, you know, repeat champions in the NFL is so rare. You know, in the basketball, you know, we've seen teams win three in a row and, you know, go to four straight championships. So LeBron James seems like he's been in the finals for damn near a decade now in a row. I think he's, what, eight times now in a row for him. But in the NFL, it's so hard because in the NFL, it is so hard to win. And it's so hard to duplicate that success. And I never want to say that a team is a fluke or got lucky because you can't go 15-1. You know, that's not
no,
luck.
That's not
that's
luck.
Not fluke. You're a good football team. But sometimes, though, you know, the ball bounce your way a couple of times. We know in the NFL, the injury bug, you know, can you make it through the season with most of your key players, your schedule, who you play, when you play them? All that stuff can become a factor. I mean, I just feel like this year it's sort of reversed on Carolina. And plus, you know, Carolina, you know, they were a pretty brash team last year. They did a lot of celebrating. You know, they did a lot of talking. They did a lot of picture taking. You know, Cam, thing is, hey, if you don't want me to do the Superman, keep me out the end zone. Okay, fair enough. So when teams play them, I feel like there's a little extra juice there. You know, there's a little extra juice when you're playing against the Carolina Panthers. And Cam Newton, who's seen as a celebratory type guy, that I feel like they're getting everybody's best punch and maybe a little bit more. And sometimes,
okay,
you know, I think
enough.
After having that success, maybe, you know, maybe the foot is off the gas pedal. And I know me and you have talked about this before. I've never thought that Ron Rivera was a good coach. I feel like he's just okay. And I feel like Cam sort of saved him. So now we're going to see if Riverboat Ron can really get this team straightened out. Because they are in trouble. I expect for them to win Monday because Tampa Bay is just not ready. You know, they're pretty porous on defense. On offense, you have Cam and you have Evans, and that's pretty much it. You know, Martin's out. You have the kid Sims. Vincent Jackson has went to the retirement home right before our eyes. So they're a pretty incomplete team. Also, so I expect for them to pretty much roll those guys. But for Carolina, it's going to be an uphill battle.
All right. Well, like I said, we we're going to get into a little basketball, talk a little baseball. So let's do this real quick. Without doing a whole bunch of background talk on it, let's run through these games mm-hmm. and make our picks for this week. Let's do it.
Okay.
First up, Arizona, San Francisco, Thursday night. We don't know about the quarterback situation, but who you got?
I'll take Cardinals.
Okay, we agree on the Cardinals. Okay. New England at Cleveland. Tom Brady's back. I got New England. Easy.
Lock of the week, New England.
Okay. Philly at Detroit. I think Detroit's on the slide. I'm sticking with Philly on this one.
Yeah, I'll stick with Philly.
I think the real Detroit showed up, starting to show up. Chicago at Indianapolis. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Bears.
I'm going to take Indianapolis because if I do, the Bears will win. Since we don't have money on this, I don't mind jinxing myself on this one. Tennessee at Miami. I'm going to take Miami, even though they've been not really playing good football. I'm going with Miami.
Yeah, I'll take Miami as well.
Okay. Washington at Baltimore.
This is a good one, but I'll take the Ravens.
Okay, you're taking the Ravens? I am going to take
yes.
Baltimore. Houston at Minnesota. I'm going to go with Minnesota on this one. They've been playing good football.
Yeah, I'll take the Vikings as well.
New York. It's the Jets. Yeah, the Jets at Pittsburgh.
Fitz is Fitz again.
That's not even – yeah, I'm taking the Steelers. Atlanta and Denver. I got to go Atlanta on this one, Paris.
I'm taking Denver. I'm taking Denver.
I can't argue with you. I know the reasons. I just don't know what that quarterback play is going to be like. Cincinnati at Dallas. Who you got?
You know, give me the Bengals.
Yeah, we both have the Bengals on that one. I agree. Dallas is – I hate to keep saying, man, they, it's only four games. I believe it's only one game. Well, no, it was only the preseason. Yeah, it's only week one. It's only 2 weeks. You know, maybe the kid can actually play. You know, maybe Dak is actually that good. Buffalo at the Rams. The Rams have been surprising people.
Oh my God, it's disgusting.
I really hate that Fisher's going to save his job with actual good football play. Because for so many years,
yeah, I know, right?
San Diego at
the Rams.
Oakland. Okay. San Diego at Oakland. I got Oakland. Who are you going with on this?
I'm taking Oakland as well.
Okay, cool. The Giants at Green Bay.
Packers.
We both have the Packers. Tampa Bay at Carolina. And I'm
Carolina.
Sure we both reserve the right to. Okay, are you taking Carolina even if Cam doesn't play?
I'm sorry.
I mean, even if.
Oh, yeah, Carolina. Yeah, give me Carolina.
Okay. Yeah, I've got Carolina now, but if Cam is out, I might switch that up. All right, so cool. Well, we've had some good football talk here. 35, well, I can't even say 35 minutes worth because we had the but. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk a little bit of baseball, Paris. Just a little bit of baseball. The Cubs, we are both. We're both White Sox fans. The Cubs are in the playoffs. I'm just going to throw this out there. Don't want a real long discussion about it, but I'm just going to throw this out there. The Cubs game comes on at 8:15 p.m., bro.
Okay.
Fortunately for me, it's not necessarily a concern, and it is a Friday, which is a plus. But, man, that seems a little bit late to start a baseball game because we know playoff games tend to go slow, a lot of managerial moves, and they just seem to take a while. That game could end at possibly 11:30 to midnight, somewhere in there with commercial breaks and everything else. What do you think about games starting this late? Do you think because teams that, they start playing, some people start playing at noon, some teams are playing later in the day. Do you think that affects a team when it comes to their, the regularity of their schedule or the regularity of their preparation for the game?
In this case, no, because it's the playoffs and they've had time to prepare. And since that game comes on at 5 o'clock my time, I don't see the issue.
That's real selfish of you. Okay, well, check this out. I had the schedule here. We have the Giants. Are you when it comes to the Giants, what's your take on the Giants right now? And they're gonna have Bob Gardner on the bump for this game.
Man, it's hard to go against the bum, especially this is an even year. The Mets made it to the playoffs. I mean, if you'd have told me that they were going to lose Harvey and Mats and DeGrom, I would have went, no way they make it to the playoffs, but they still did it. With that being said, if it's a one game, I'm not taking anybody over bum. I'll ride the bum wave and take the Giants.
Well, he's going against Syndergaard. But, yeah, I'm taking the Giants as well. I just think the Giants, the Mets have had some injuries, and honestly, I want the Cubs to lose. So, and I think the Giants provide a bigger and better opponent. Their pitching is, at this point, because of the injuries, their pitching is so much better. Than what New York has to offer. And again, I'm saying that with the thought in mind that they've had some pitching injuries, and they've had some injuries amongst the everyday players as well. But we have tonight. We have Baltimore going up against Toronto. We have Chris Tillman against, I believe it was Marcus Stroman.
Stroman.
Right now, it's 2-1 in the bottom of the four. Do you have a preference in this game, or
yes, every other time he came to bat,
who was that?
He would always get sweet Juan Bautista. I would always hit him. He would always get sweet chin music, or I'd hit him. I just can't stand it. So that being said, I hate the Blue Jays. So the Orioles.
Okay, as you know, we're a little bit older, so we remember the glory days of the Orioles, the Eddie Murrays, Cal Ripkins, Earl Weaver. Those are some good days, man. Those are some good days growing up. I personally, I'm going for Toronto. Honestly, if Baltimore wins, cool. If Toronto wins, cool. I don't really lose. San Francisco, New York.
See, Corey, at this point in time of the season, I have two teams. I sort of want to see the Rangers win the World Series because it's the Rangers.
Right.
They haven't done it. Everybody else in the playoffs, I feel like, okay, it's sort of like old news in a way. And two, I just don't want to see the Cubs win the World Series. So, you know, either of those
things happen. So you're for whoever's playing the Cubs,
right,
is who you're cheering for, baby. That's fair enough. That's
pretty
fair
much.
Enough.
Any other team, I can live with it.
Yeah, okay, well, that's cool. Cleveland Indians and Boston. Who are you taking in that series?
Cleveland seems pretty beat up now. It's funny because these baseball teams start acting like NFL teams at the end of the season, where you got people tearing. Now the for the Nationals, you know, and they're beat up, and you know they lost one of their big starting pitchers, and I know Cleveland has some injuries on the pitching front as well. Michael Bradley, he.
I'd like to see Cleveland win. When I stopped liking the Cubs when they traded Joe Carter and Mel Hall, that's when I started liking Cleveland. I was a Cleveland fan right up until they got put in the division with the White Sox. I could not cheer for Cleveland when they were in the same division as my Sox. But I'm going to take Cleveland. I'm going to take Cleveland over. What was that, Paris?
Document.
You're breaking up again, Paris. Try that one more time. Yeah, now it's dead silence. We're having that problem again. Well, I'm taking Cleveland over Boston. I'm praying that whoever comes in, I'm praying the Giants win and that they can put it on the Cubs. The Dodgers in Washington, that's going to be a good series. I don't really have a dog in the fight or a reason to dislike one team over the other. But I guess I wouldn't mind seeing the Dodgers win that. Paris, I can hear you back now. What were you saying?
Okay. I was saying as far as I believe we were talking about Cleveland, I was saying that your affinity for Cleveland is well documented, and LeBron James broke the curse. So enough with Cleveland. They can go back to being trash.
I
hate both. Dodgers in Washington. The Dodgers. I don't want to have to.
You're breaking up, but I'm looking. I want to see the Dodgers. And I guess if I had to go with somebody different, I wouldn't mind seeing Washington win. But I don't know if they have the pitching that can hang with the Dodgers at all. Try again, Paris. Let me see if you're back on at all. We're having that problem again. Well, Paris, keep talking. I don't hear anything. And if I hear you come back in, I'll let you know I got you. So as far as the playoffs go, as far as the baseball playoffs go, we have the game tonight on TBS, Baltimore at Toronto, and tomorrow, San Francisco at New York. First pitch roughly 8:09 Eastern on ESPN. As I stated earlier, the Cubs kick off Friday night, 8:15 Eastern. You have the Dodgers Friday night at Washington at 5:38 Eastern. And the winner of Baltimore-Toronto will be at Texas Thursday, 4:38 Eastern. And if I didn't say it, Thursday night you also have Boston and at Cleveland at 8:08 p.m. Eastern. Paris, try again. See if you're back before we go to, because I want to get some basketball talk.
Okay, how about that?
Hold on.
Man.
Okay, I got you. I don't know why we're having this problem today. We've been on for months with no issues, and now all of a sudden, it must be the Cubs making the playoffs that it's doing this. It's not right. It's not right. Yeah, you're gone. You're gone again, Paris. So with that said, man, just keep on trying, Paris. Hopefully you'll get back in. This week we started the NBA preseason, and the first score I come across here is the Knicks at the Rockets. The Rockets are up 60-37, and I believe Derrick Rose's alleged rape trial starts today. So I'm assuming he's
supposed to start today.
Okay, you're back. Supposed to start today. You went out again, but he is playing. He's 3-for-9 with 7 points. Doesn't look like, well, I don't know if Melo is playing or if he's just not on the floor at this time. But, yeah, doesn't look like Melo is playing. If he is, no, he's playing. He's played 13 minutes, but it's preseason, so the scores aren't really of issue. And my man Joel Embiid, it's been like 3 years, the big man out of Kansas, and he's finally hit his first bucket today, Paris. Give the man a standing ovation. 3 years. And while you're standing there, keep in mind that Ben Simmons can only stand on 1 foot because the Philadelphia curse has continued. The young man who already had no jumper now can't even practice his jumper. Ben Simmons is out, what, Paris, 3 months, roughly? Yeah, you were in for a second. Now you're back out. Try your speakerphone, Paris. Try that. See how that works. I'm throwing darts now. Bro.
Okay, now I'm on speaker.
I'm throwing darts. I can hear you.
Is this better? Okay. Well,
yeah, I can hear you.
So I'll roll with this. All right. He's out. Yeah, out for 3 months. I believe it's the same break. I want to believe that Kevin Durant had in his foot. It's just unfortunate. Okay. And now it gets to the point with Philly. I mean, you know, do they even want to – when they bring them back, you know, they want to give them an extra month and just sort of tank again like they've been doing. I mean, it's just bad luck.
And at the end of the day, you know what? It's not the same. But you know what? When I heard it, you know what it reminded me of? As a Chicagoan, reminded me of Michael Jordan. A lot of people forget Michael Jordan broke his foot.
Yes.
A lot of people have forgotten that Michael Jordan broke his foot his rookie year.
I thought that was his rookie year. He broke his foot.
Yep, and the management did not want him to come back because they were going to try to get a high draft pick, and he said, "Man, I'm healthy. I'm playing." Yep. And I could say the rest is history, but that would be too easy. But yeah, that just, you know, It reminded me that you hate to hear, you know, I can sit here and say that the man didn't have a jump shot because he doesn't, but I was looking forward to seeing him play. And you never want to see a young man's career with so much, you know, potential and so many people looking forward to watching him play. And in a city like Philadelphia where they had nothing else, they had no other reason to watch games. They literally had no other reason to watch games. You could say maybe they'll watch, see if Joel, what Joel Embiid can do. But besides that, they had no reason to watch. And then this kid goes down. So I hope everything works out well. Like you said, it was a KD injury. The beautiful thing about that is KD came back from his and has had no other issues that we've heard of. So I'm hoping that the kid comes back and he can get back into it.
You know, no injury is ever good. But if I had to choose, I think I'd rather have a clean break of a bone than a ligament tear. So that's, you know, that's one good way to look at it, if there is a silver lining.
Speaking of someone who's had 8 knee surgeries, yeah, I'd rather have broken my leg.
Exactly.
You can break your leg and put a plate in it, put a, you know, pole, whatever, and you can get back to your old self. Outside of Adrian Peterson, when you tear your ACL, people say they're 100%. They're never 100%. You tore your Achilles. People can say they're 100%. Would you agree that you're never 100%?
Well, I don't know. I'm a mute, so I feel like I got back to 100%. But, yeah, no, you're right. You work as hard as you can, and you get back, but it never quite really feels the same. Even though I felt good,
always knew in the back of my mind that it wasn't quite the same.
Right, right. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm hoping, I'm wishing the kid nothing but the best. I'm looking forward to seeing him play and to seeing him evolve because, as I've told people before, you know, there's nothing better than watching, you know, like I can say in my lifetime, I got to see Dr. J play, but I didn't see Dr. J evolve into Dr. J. I just saw old man Dr. J. You know, I saw Moses Malone. He was a grizzled old man. I didn't get to see young, you know, Moses Malone like that, you know, because back in the 70s and early 80s, you only got to see basketball if it came on TV. And it wasn't like it is now. So you didn't, you know, or if you went to the game. So you didn't get to see guys evolve before your very eyes. We got to see Michael Jordan. I got to see Michael Jordan go from Carolina to a rookie to, you know, to what he evolved into, to baseball, and then retire. We're at that point now, in our age, that, man, you've got to appreciate cats. Like, you know, a lot of people complain about LeBron Paris, and I'm not a big LeBron fan. But as a basketball fan, you know, it's kind of like when you watched Iverson or Kobe those last couple years. You knew that it was coming to an end, and you're starting. I mean, in my opinion, this is, you can correct me if you feel differently. LeBron, in my opinion, I think he's starting his decline. And his decline is still way better than a lot of people. But you're starting – I think we're starting to see him on the other edge of that mountain, of that peak, so to speak. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's only natural at some point in time he will decline.
Right.
And you're right. You know,
of course.
Sometimes you sort of take these guys for granted. Then when they're gone, you're sort of like, man, you know, I wish I would have done this. You know, it's the same way with Kobe.
Yep.
And I really didn't feel the same way about AI. I was sort of tired of him when he left. And I guess sort of with Kobe, too. But, you know, I really didn't care about AI leaving because I wasn't ever the world's biggest AI fan. I always felt
you know
he was a guy. AI and Michael Vick reminded me a lot of each other. I always drew a comparison to them because I always felt like they were two great players. But if they would have been more committed to their craft and honed certain skills and not just got by on what they could do, but worked on what they couldn't do, they could have been truly great ball players. They always reminded me of the same guys as far as not working as hard as some of the other greats have to achieve a different level of greatness.
Okay. I used to say that about the Boston Celtics. I spent my whole childhood and teen years or whatever it was hating the Boston Celtics so much because they were the Celtics, because they were the Bulls' rival, that as I got older, I wish I had, you know, really appreciated Larry Bird when he was healthy and Kevin McHale and Dennis Johnson and Robert Parrish and those guys. And so, yeah, as I've gotten older, I've started to look at the game a little bit differently. I don't have to like a team to be able to appreciate watching, you know, the top players do what they do with top teams. Like Golden State, I'm not a Golden State fan, but I was able to appreciate watching them, you know, watching them do what they did all year, even though as a Bulls fan, I was, you know, I was cheering against them. So what do you do? This year, Paris, and we're down to our last few minutes, but I do want to ask you, this year when you're looking at the NBA, and there's really no new rules in place, no real shift changes in philosophy as far as what the NBA is trying to do as far as the playoffs or any of that. We both know preseason basketball is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you've coached in the Air Force.
Right.
When we're talking about preseason basketball, what, as a coach, what are you looking to see, to discover? What are you trying to find? Is it just a cohesiveness? You're trying to see who can do what? You're trying to get young guys, you know, a little battle-tested, get a little something up under them so that they can have, you know, get their feet wet. What are you looking for as a coach?
I'm looking for, as far as, mostly I'm looking at groups. That's what I'm looking at. I'm trying to look at chemistry and what groups fit better. And what will it look like if we have to play small? What will it look like if we have to play big? And that was one of the challenges in the military, because a lot of times when we would go, you know, different tournaments, I always knew that not everybody was going to be able to make the trip. But that was one of my things a lot of times during practice, was try to miss and match and go, okay, I'm going to take my best player and put him out, you know. I would pick certain guys out or put them on another team and go, okay, let me see what five I would start with if I didn't have this guy, if I didn't have that guy. That's what you're looking for.
Right.
If you're looking at what you've been going over in practice, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for your team to play. Even though the score might not be important, you're looking for them to do the fundamentals and to play the way that you guys have said that you want to play basketball. And as long as they're doing that, you can live with it. It's when they don't, that's what pisses a coach off.
Okay.
That's what makes
you mad. With these last few minutes, I want to ask you a few specific questions, and I know you weren't prepared for this, so it's going to be all off the head. Taking the information you just gave me, as an NBA fan, KD and Golden State, what are you looking for with Golden State? As a fan, with what you just told me, what is it when you watch Golden State, what will you be looking for?
You know, I watched their first preseason game, and quite honestly, I'm just looking forward to seeing how they mesh on the court and have all that shooting, because we've never had a team before where we arguably had three of the top five shooters in a game all on the court. And I'm also looking at trying to figure out how Kerr is going to stagger his subs and how is he always going to have two of the big four on the court and what combination is he going to play with. Because, you know, that's one of the things. A lot of people say, well, you know, Golden State lost some bench. Well, you know, they might have lost a couple bums on the bench, but they gained probably the second or third best player in the game, which gives you the ability now to stagger. You know, before, you couldn't stagger. You couldn't have, you know, Green and Curry and Klay all off the floor at the same time. But now you have the luxury that if you want to, you could do that. And you could put out Livingston along with Iguodala and David West and KD and me, you, or whoever else, and still hold a fort. So even though their bench may have gotten a little weaker by having that guy, it actually lengthens the rotation.
I was going to say, having a guy like KD is basically like having, in a sense, you've added a bench player and a half, because it plays you know, to two players. Because now, I mean, he might not be able to play the minutes, but what it does is, just like you said, now you can put KD out there by himself with four other guys, and KD can hold the fort down for 3 to 4 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes. Or you can, you know, you can bring in, like you said, Kerr, and you can sit KD down, and I'm Curry, and then Curry can run the show. But it does, but the pressure is off. So that, yeah, that I like that. Let's go to the hometown team. Let's go to the Bulls. Rajon Rondo added. D-Wade added. Jimmy Butler's still there. We bought in Lopez. Not sure who the power forward is going to be just yet. What are your when you're looking at the Bulls from a fan's perspective, once again, what are you looking to see in the preseason from the Bulls besides continuity? Because that's a given. You're trying to see how they play together.
Yeah.
But so I don't want to give you a chance to give me the easy answer. What are you looking for from the Bulls besides continuity?
Can they put out enough? Can they have enough shooting to keep the floor nice and balanced all the time? You know, I watched them last night.
Okay.
It looked like a little bit overpassing at times, but that's okay. So I think it's important that Nico starts. You know, Taj can still play a lot of minutes. Taj can even play backup center because the NBA is going a lot smaller, which pushes Big Chris back to your fifth big man. You know, with Porter still getting his fair share of minutes. And my only concern, honestly, with the Bulls is because I pretty much know what everybody else is going to give me, but the backup point guard. That's a very interesting position because I think the coaches want Grant to win that job. Because we all know what Isaiah Cannon is at this point in time. You know, he's like Aaron Brooks, but sort of a bigger version.
We know Dinwiddie is just, you know, the 15th guy on the bench. But Grant, you know, was a first-round draft pick. So can this guy be a solid backup, you know, point guard? That's what I'm really looking for in a preseason is how does he run the team when he comes? Because physically, you would want him to be that guy because he got good size, you know, he's athletic, you know, but can he run the team, get the team in the plays, and handle the rock adequately? So he's really the guy that I'm looking at this preseason. I got both my eyes on Grant.
And before we get out of here, I have to ask you about the world champions, or as some people like to say, the NBA champions, since the world doesn't have any teams in the league. When you're talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers, and then we're going to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for the Cavs this year, coming off of a title run?
Exactly how much they rest. One of my bold statements, we did a little NBA prediction thing, is, and I say, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Cavs finished with the first record. I mean, you know, with the top seed in the East, because I think they're gonna sort of rest. LeBron James played 36 minutes a game last season. I wouldn't be surprised to see that drop down to 34, because I know they bumped it up to, I want to say, 39-40 for the playoffs. So I wouldn't be surprised if it dropped down to 34 during the regular season. You know, those guys are voted for Bear. They're the defending champs. So in my mind, you know, hey, they're still the champion until someone knocks them off. And the J.R. Smith saga, you know, when do we get this settled? It'll probably be like Tristan Thompson was last year. And at the end of camp. But sooner or later, I figure they'll get that thing done as well.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
But one thing, though,
all right.
One thing I will say,
what's
about
that?
Cleveland, though, to keep an eye on real quick, is the backup point guard situation. Because Mo Williams retired right before training camp start. They have the young kid, Fielder, and they just signed a vet. I can't remember. I'm mad because I can't remember this, but I saw it come across my phone. They signed some vet. And that could be key because we know that Kyrie Irving is exactly the picture of health. So if Kyrie Irving goes down, you know, and misses his, you know, 15 to 20 games, you know, you don't ever want to see nobody get hurt. But, hey, the guy's been hurt every year going back to high school. So the odds are he's going to miss some time this year. So when he gets hurt, who steps in to fill that point guard position? That's something to keep an eye on with Cleveland. And toward the end of the year, you know, when we do veteran buyouts, and there's always some veterans to get bought out, I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, if there's some veteran point guard out there, and, of course, you know, everybody's going to run to the Cavs. You know, hey, that's what they do. I wouldn't be surprised if they're the team that's looking for, you know, a solid veteran backup point guard.
The Cavs are Golden State.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, do you have any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
No, all I want to say is this. To all my fellow Bulls fans, especially to the people that run our team stream over at Bleacher Report, Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah no longer play for us. You know what that means? I'll speak for most Bulls fans. I don't care. I don't care how they're doing in practice. I don't care if Joakim Noah's perfectly. I really don't care how Derrick Rose's trial is going on. You know, I don't want to see the brother go to jail. But don't flood my team stream with constant Nick talk. I don't care. And Bulls fans, stop talking about Derrick Rose, because some of us are starting to sound like that dude, and we've all had that friend that dated a girl for a while, and then they broke up. And when they broke up, he told you, man, I'm so happy to be rid of her. It was time. But yet, he's still following her on Instagram, and he's still asking you when you go out, hey, did you see her? Did she ask about me? And you like, okay, man, you really ain't over it yet. Fellas, let it go. He ain't walking through that building. I don't care what he says. I don't care what he says about the love he get in New York. Hey, that's players talk. They all do it once they get traded. You know, once you get traded, you go to a new team, you always talk about the energy in the building. Yeah, same thing. Same thing Rondo been saying. Same thing D-Wade been saying. That's just normal. It is what it is. Because let's face it, if you've been traded or something like that, there's always little emotions involved. Everybody say, nah, I don't care. It's just business. But, hey, getting traded is basically like, okay, in one way somebody wants me, but in another way somebody didn't. And these are athletes that have all been told probably since about the age of 12 that they're the greatest thing that walks. You know, so for them, for them to be told by somebody basically, I don't want you, yeah, it sort of hit them. It's going to sort of hit them in the ego a little bit. But, hey, let it go. Let's just worry about the guys that we have. Chicago Bulls, Bleacher Report, Team Stream guys, please stop. We don't care. Let it go. We do not care. And that's all I got, brother.
Cool. Yeah, I don't care either, quite honestly. But before we get out of here, I would like to – no, I'm not going to lie. I don't care. But I would like to say before we get out of here, we're not going to have a show next week. And the week after that, Paris is kind of up in the air because I'm not sure if we're going to be going on a honeymoon that week or if we're going to wait a couple months and then go, like, you know, at the beginning of the year when it's cold and get out of
right.
here for a week. But definitely next week, no show, and then we'll see what happens for the week after that. So with that said, enjoy week 5 of the NFL. Enjoy the Major League Baseball playoffs. It's about to get started. Well, it's already started. And enjoy, man, preseason basketball. Wow, it's right already here. And a couple good college football games. So until next – until 2 weeks at least, maybe 3, we are out of here. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
Peace.
Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they feeling, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, might not really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day, barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go, give you the best damn show on the radio, $1 million audience meets with your favorite host, $1 million connections, feel the force, most electric, most eclectic, listen to the shows where the pros expected, 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list, the best damn show on the radio, check this,
the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show and radio.